Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocky Sika Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe and support
WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis. Do I sound bunged up at all? I feel like I'm bunged up, but I don't know if that's coming through in my voice. And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. I don't think you do sound too bunged up, but I suppose that will also answer my next question, how the devil are you?
I feel bunged up, Luke.
It's that kind of comedy back and forth banter that keeps people coming back to this podcast.
That, quite frankly, Pete lacked. I'm kidding. Love Chop Chops.
Poor old Chop.
Little Chop Chops.
Little Choppy Whoppy. Hello.
Shopper.
Less Shopper.
Less Shopper. I'm a big believer in mental and emotional stress manifesting themselves in physical symptoms. When you left, that gave me a big pulled muscle in my neck, remember?
Yes, you
around
did.
Around all the time that everyone decided to hate us. Now, I think this is the after effects.
It's you getting all bunged up.
Well, we were busy yesterday. We were busy boys.
We were busy boys. We were busy secret boys. Lovely time with the secret boys.
I mean, let's... No.
I mean, unless you were on social media, in which case you saw a lot of it.
Yeah, in which case you know exactly what was happening.
I liked it. I thought it was good social banks content.
I think it's very good. It was... Because I'm not that way minded, really. So it's good that you're there to get Instagram live streaming wrong.
Ah! I got it right. But, so here's what happened. So have you watched it?
I was watching AEW this morning in bed because I was too ill to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And I had my cup of tea there. And my lady partner was what? Like, I could hear your voice. And I took off my headphones. I was like, what are you watching? And she was like, I'm catching up with your WrestleTalk Instagram live stories from yesterday. And I was like, oh, what's going on it? And she said, well, it's been Luke trying to figure out how it works for the first minute.
So what happened was, I was listening to a podcast and I had my headphones in. I figured, and I was carrying a cup of coffee and my phone in my other hand.
I saw all this.
And so I figured, when I press go live, it's going to stop my podcast. Like in the same way when you do a phone call, it stops the... Or if you start a YouTube video, it stops the podcast you're playing to play whatever else is going. So I thought, me going live is going to stop the podcast. It turns out it doesn't. So then I was like, oh no. Well, now I need to stop the podcast. But I'm holding my phone in my hand and I'm holding my coffee cup in my hand and I need to reach up and grab the little clicker button on my headphones to stop the podcast and then carry on. And in the process of doing so, also managed to turn the camera around.
Yes, and I saw that bit.
And then I had to turn it back around to me. Yeah. So it didn't get off to the best of starts, but I felt the content after that was 10 out of 10 quality.
Top notch.
It was fantastic.
So, well, that sounds like it was Instagram's fault.
Well,
if I'm taking any lesson from that,
I think what a lot of people need to remember from this show is that if anything goes wrong, it's usually not my fault.
Yeah.
It is usually the fault of something else.
You've been hanging out with Dad since too much.
He has rubbed off on me in all the wrong ways.
He's so much better now. He takes responsibility. He's grown as a human being. It's amazing to see him to grow and blossom. I hope he does an MJF heel turn on us.
So we spent quite a bit of time talking about Japan on the last email. What did I say? Oh, yeah, podcast, sorry.
You're looking at your emails.
I'm looking at my emails.
You said the thing that you're seeing again.
I know. But I did get this email from Pratesh, who says, "Hi, Luke and the team, brackets, but mainly Luke. Please, 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 can we hear more about your trip to Japan? I'm planning a trip next year and want to hear all about yours, your advice and general experience. Thanks, Emil Pratesh." So my general advice would be, A, either get a SIM card, like a Japanese SIM card where you get out there.
That's a good tip.
Or pre-order one that you can get delivered to your own house, like in the UK. But you will need to be able to use apps while you're out there, particularly Google Maps. Google Translate's not quite as good as it makes it out to be.
Oh, mate, you know what you need. Google Lens.
Ooh, what's Google Lens?
Yeah, well, this is it. A lot of people think Google Translate's where it's at. Google Lens. It's there. It's, you can point it at a plant and it will tell you the Latin name for that plant. It'll identify birds. And also, it has real-time translation of different languages in the camera field.
Oh, that's good.
So you can... I did it in Amsterdam. I put my phone down the menu and it real-time superimposed the English words for the Dutch ones over the top of the menu.
So the Google Translate app also does that.
Oh, does it? Oh, my bad, sorry.
But it doesn't do it... I'd argue it doesn't do it very well.
I'm Ollie-splaining to you.
But that might just be because it was going from kanji into English.
They've got too many alphabets. Well, that's the Japanese's problem.
Once again, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
It's not our fault.
Simplify your stuff or just talk English, you bloody foreigners.
So that would be my advice, because you will need Google Maps, particularly when getting around. If you're going to Tokyo in particular and you're going to be using their subway system, which is fantastic, by the way. I was rewatching the anime movie Your Name, and they get on the subway a couple of times in that, and I genuinely got nostalgic for last week and being on their subway system, because I just think it's fabulous.
How big is Tokyo?
Massive.
London takes huge. You couldn't walk it, really.
No, you need to get the subway everywhere.
Lots of different districts.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's all districts. And it's in the same way, it's like London, like a bigger version of London.
I reckon I could run Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, 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 totally.
Yeah.
And when we went to Reykjavik's essentially two streets. It's a large land, but there's nothing there. And then there's just two streets that you can actually walk down. And there's some, geezers in that. Not London geezers, the water ones. And I'd also recommend, if you're a pop culture fan, Akihabara is the place to go. That is where, that is pop culture central. If you like your anime and your models and models of women bending over in suggestive manners, that is the place to go.
With impossibly large breasts?
Yes, and impossibly big bottoms.
It's creating unrealistic expectations for me, and that's not my fault.
Either.
It's their fault. The women.
And particularly if you're going to Akihabara, go to Super Potato, which is a video game store. And it's it's on the third floor, I think. And then there's another three floors that you can go there. And it's got an arcade at the top as well. Which is amazing.
Because my friend went shortly before you and hadn't done any research because he was just going to follow the rugby. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, and I asked you for recommendations, and I told him about that store.
He went.
He thought it was amazing, but his poor fiance was just dragged around that entire place, so I don't think she's happy.
Oh, okay.
But he was.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I can give one good recommendation then. There's a lot of good restaurants to go to, but again, it depends on where you're going, I suppose.
Brush up on your chopstick skills. Don't accidentally offend wise Japanese sages.
Yes. We also accidentally found a very cool piano bar. And that was like...
Do they play chopsticks? Is that racist? That's not racist.
I know.
No.
Yeah,
I just felt automatically bad about saying it.
I think you're okay on that one. But it was this really, really super cool. And actually, I'll tell you how cool it was. Me and my wife kept saying, we need to tell Ollie and Anna about this when they go next year.
Yeah.
Recommend this place. It's very good. Gotta play a cover, gotta pay a cover charge when you get there. But the drinks were really, really lovely. And they played smooth piano music. Ooh. And you're all sat around the piano as well.
Oh, nice.
So it's like a big circle table.
Like a sushi bar or a sumo match.
And speaking of which, I found there's a fantastic sushi restaurant that we went to that I would definitely recommend to you. And I'm not going to say why, but don't get a table that's at the conveyor belt. Get a booth. The booth is way better.
Wow.
Because we got one at the bar, at the conveyor belt, thinking that'd be the best place to go.
Is it karaoke?
It is not karaoke, no. But there was an American couple who was sat on a booth just behind us who kept freaking out when their food arrived.
What does it like pop up through the table?
I'm not going to say.
Down a little chute?
I'm not going to say anything to you.
You should have done a hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk sushi news.
Nice. But you order everything via a little iPad in front of you as well.
Oh, mate, they got that over here. I was in O'Neill's the other day. Just got all the drinks sent to the table.
You
did,
Do you want to tell this story? I don't think we told this on the podcast. You told it on the podcast that I listened to. That's
what I was going to say. So I haven't had that conversation with you. while you were away.
I listened to the podcast where you talked about it. But I do want to hear about your trip to Amsterdam. But we do have to get into the main show, so we'll do that first. So anyway, here is the main show. We're talking about shock horror. Chris Jericho's first AEW loss. And I feel like we're on split opinions on this. Here's the show.
What happened was, it was a tag team championship match between SCU, comprised of Kazarian, and is it just Kaz?
I believe they just call him Kaz.
They just call him Kaz. Kaz and Scorpio Sky, which I guess they're the champions, right?
They
it's
are,
not like
yeah.
It's not Freebird rules not free where Daniels rules. Can hop in.
No, because Daniels was taken out of the tournament, so the champions are Kazarian and Sky.
The champions are Sky and Kaz.
Yeah.
And they're going up against the inner circle of AEW champion himself, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara.
The Spanish God.
Which is a really nice storyline because the inner circle want all the gold. Chris Jericho wants to be a double champion. It's like, it's a big time match. And that's a really solid main event for an episode of TV.
So, so solid, yeah.
Really nice idea. Love the booking of that. And they have a match. It's a match I very much enjoyed. By the way, we'll get to the Jericho promo with MGF later in the play-by-play of the show. It's not really related to this stuff. I really like, the structure of the match where it starts off Jericho being cocky, but then Sky just gets the better of him. He has to tag in Sammy.
And I want to point out as well, because obviously it ties into the finish of this match, this episode was designed to be like, this is our next jumping off point for what is likely going to be our January pay-per-view. So it was like full gear or fully loaded, as JR kept calling it throughout the show. TLJR.
He's gone on so much better that. Like, I can look past the mistakes because he is so good now, I think.
He was a bit salty at full gear, though, or fully loaded, if you want to call it that. So, full gear is...
Fully loaded on gear. That's very early noughties.
That is, yeah. It's very Trainspotting. Full Gear is now done and dusted. It's in the books. Let's start the next chapter of this AEW story. And one of the biggest parts of this was getting over Scorpio Sky.
Mm.
And actually, the whole tag tournament was about getting over Scorpio Sky. Because, even in a match he was not a part of, the opening tag match that they had between Jurassic Express and Dark Order, you had Jay on commentary going like, the reason why SCU are the tag team champions is because of Scorpio Sky. And like he was just like, and I fully believe that. And I think he is the reason why they won. And then this match itself was all about getting over Scorpio Sky and saying that he's the star of this team.
Because it was Scorpio Sky who got the roll up on the Lucha Bros in the tag team tournament final that secured them the win.
And it wasn't meant to be the team in the first place. It was meant to be Daniels and Kazarian.
And he got super over in that first match when he had to stand in. And Yeah, so in this match, Hager was out there as well, but so was Daniels. It's so nice to see Daniels as part of the SCU act again.
Yeah.
Nice return. I thought the return worked really well.
I really did as well. Gear. Simon and I sort of fantasy booked ourselves into circles, I suppose, because we thought it was the return of the Fallen Angel.
Ah.
Because he had like the Fallen Angel logo, and we thought it's either an Easter egg, or it's, you know, or just a nice nod and just a fun thing to do, or he has changed his character and he has now gone back to the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels, and maybe that's going to see a split and a fragment within SCU.
Were you saying Fallen Angel confirmed?
And Fallen Angel return confirmed.
God, I've got to find a new gag for that now.
As it happened, he was just back to being Christopher Daniels on this episode with the microphone and everything, so there's no Fallen Angel return confirmed.
No, but Daniels out there was nice because Kaz was taken out by Hager, and then Daniels ran to take out Hager, but Hager sort of took him out as well. Sammy Guevara got a leg injury in this as well. Not, you know, kayfabe, so yeah. He was sort of taken out. So it was Jericho and Sky that this all came down to, and they're going back and forth.
Had some really good stuff in there. Yeah. They had a TKO by Sky for a near fall. Sky blocked the lion salt, and then he went up to do a diving move, like a diving cutter, got caught with the code breaker.
Love that. Yeah.
I totally bought into that near fall as well. Really like jumped out my super, like, oh my God, we're going to do double champion.
Great spot.
Great, great spot. And then Sky pinned Chris Jericho with a roll-up.
Uh-huh.
And that is Chris Jericho's first pinfall loss in AEW. Granted, it's in tag team competition, so it's different to his singles record, but it is his first loss in AEW.
Mm. And there are so many reasons why this booking is fantastic. The tag team champions won the match despite being against like the champion, the world champion, but they are not a tag team act. Like, that. This is something another company, I hate comparing.
Yeah.
Some other companies book their even their tag team champions as always secondary to that main event singles scene. So, but in theory, if you are the tag team champions as a unit, you'll be able to beat any random two people thrown together 99 times out of 100.
And even though Sammy and Jericho have been teaming together and do have tag team victories under their belts, SCU are the established act. They have been tagging for years.
Yes.
So they should be able to beat two lads who have only been tagging for a little while.
So fantastic there. Makes the tag division look awesome and the champions even stronger. Sammy Guevara, lovely red herring there. You look at Jericho and Sammy in a team in this match, we're like, well, I know who's taking the loss there. But they didn't. It was Jericho that took the loss. Huge. And I'm sure this will spin off into a big either character piece for Jericho where he gets more and more, like, his confidence has been rocked now, so he has to resort to more heelish paranoid delusions, and it'll build up Sky very nicely as well. So here's where I disagree with it.
Lay it on me.
Because everything about this was perfect, and I hate to say this, for me, remember, this is my personal opinion, everything about this was perfect apart from the fact that it was Scorpio Sky. And that pains me to say, because I
did not see this coming.
Hot take. Pains me to say, because I'm a huge fan of Scorpio Sky. He really, like, tremendous, absolutely tremendous in that opening match of the tag tournament, and then got better and better and better and better. And then he won with a roll-up. It was a limp finish there. And I thought, I get what you did here, but I think the Lucha Bros should have won.
Oh, the tournament.
I think the Lucha Bros should have
okay,
been
right, I see what you're
the
saying,
first ever AEW World Tag Team Champions.
Okay.
But they didn't go with that. They did it with a roll-up victory that did kind of... I thought it was a flat finish.
Okay, so
it was a shocking finish.
Because I haven't seen this.
Yes.
So the tag title match, because I thought you were still talking about this match, but the tag title match ended with a roll-up.
Oh, I'm giving a hell of a load of context.
Okay.
Yeah, ended with a roll-up from Sky.
Fair enough.
It was sort of a shock.
Yeah.
Distraction thing. And now here, Sky also gets a roll up. So firstly, that's by the by, really. That's not the strongest finishes if you're truly trying to build someone up, I would argue. But SCU, and I love them, honestly, I'm a real big fan. But you
doesn't
look at the rest.
Like
I'm in that awkward position where there's this amazing movie that I love, an amazing movie that I love, but because I don't think it's the best movie ever, I'm the bad guy. Yeah. So, AEW's tag division, Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, Santana and Ortiz, those are your three top acts. SCU are the champions. Okay, fine. That's the direction you went. I would have put it on the Lucha Bros. And now you're using it to build Sky. Great idea. Because, you know, this company is very committed to building new talent. This one, I felt like it was at their detriment. This was the first time out of all the losses that the big AEW stars have had, you know, Omega, Bucks, Cody and Jericho, that I was like, I don't think Sky was the right person to do that because, and here's my whole argument that I don't think is easy to argue with, it would be totally okay if it was Pentagon Jr.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you're right. Like, you know, because Pentagon is, he is main event talent as a single star as well as a tag act. So your whole argument is that actually pinning the champion in a tag match isn't the worst thing. It's just the fact that it wasn't Pentagon Jr. and it was Scorpio Sky.
It's more that it's Scorpio Sky.
It's more that it's Scorpio Sky.
I love him. I think he's really good. But I don't think he's... This is the most effective use of him. The pops that SCU and Sky get from the crowd, I don't think are... They're nowhere near the level of pops that other people get.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go in that direction as opposed to... going the sort of, I don't want to say safe, dependable route. I feel like an asshole right now talking about this. But I just think...
Those checks really are going to bounce them, I'm telling you.
I just think Jericho's first pinfall loss, it's a big deal. I don't mind you doing that now. Should be against like a proper big money feud. And I fully expect Jericho to have a match with Sky somewhere and make Sky look like $1 million. And then 2 weeks, Sky will dip down again. I don't see Sky as a main eventer, even with a lot of push behind him. But Pentagon Jr. And there's even the story of Jericho turning up at All In dressed as Pentagon in the Kenny Omega match.
Yes,
there's a lot of context. I know it's going to sound like I'm just getting stuck in my own fantasy booking world.
It does sound like you're stuck in your own because your whole argument isn't
it should be Pentagon.
Exactly, your whole argument is it should be someone else.
Yes,
it should have been Pentagon. Is your whole argument?
Yeah,
and that argument isn't wrong, but it's not to say that this decision is wrong either. Just because you would have done it. I mean, actually, and that's which is unfair to say because we have oftentimes, I myself have often said, it's not the way I would have done it as my personal reason why I'm not getting on board with it. So I don't think you're wrong on this. And I don't think you getting sucked into your own fantasy booking world is the worst thing. However, from my vantage point and my sort of feelings on this, I thought it was a fantastic closing to the show. Really, really surprising because, like you, I thought that... hey, if anyone's taking the pinfall in this, it's definitely Sammy, which will still give Jericho his first loss, but it's, and I'm not even sure, maybe he's lost a different tag match, but it certainly feels like it wouldn't have been a Jericho pinfall loss. I certainly didn't see that coming. But all I thought when I saw this was like, this is great. And this is great because we're doing quarterly pay-per-views. So... we're not going to be getting another show until January. We imagine January, May, August, then November, then we come back around to January again. So our next show is not until January. You can't really do your 12 weeks worth of booking, you know, and 12 weeks worth of telling one story in order to get to this pay-per-view here. So what you've actually got to do is you've got to do these sort of mini feuds to build up and make certain episodes of TV feel like a pay-per-view in itself, or have a pay-per-view quality main event, you know, title defense, this and the other. And I think doing a four-week journey of Jericho versus Sky for the AEW Championship is not only 4 weeks of great television, by the sounds of it, you know, with some really good matches, and it'll end in a, you would have thought, in a really good match, that will make Sky look really good, and it raises Sky's stock. And I suppose my main counter-argument to you is that Pentagon is already an established main eventer, but this could make Scorpio Sky appear like an established main eventer, and surely this option is better than the one you've already got.
Potentially. I guess, yeah, there is kind of daylight between the two options. I'm quite hard on my side, obviously.
Which I don't think is wrong, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. I think AEW, one of the main faults, weirdly, with AEW is that they're not giving their big stars enough wins.
Yeah.
And I've been in agreement with AEW. No, you've got to build the future. You've got to make these younger guys look really good. Look, Sammy Guevara feels like a proper main event.
Darby Allin.
He can just step up in there and it doesn't feel out of place. And that's because of a fantastic job that they've done. However, I do think they should start building proper main event feuds now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they did have a main event feud. They just had one. To say
Jericho and Cody.
To start building one, I think, is a bit unfair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. It's, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, thank you, the man who wears the gold, the man recognised by SWEF Nation International as the 24/7 champion, our legend.
Our yes. legend, absolutely, the redneck Dennis Hicks.
Yeah, come on. Michael Plowman, that name, that's his name, that name again is Michael Plowman.
I do feel like we need to change that to Crap Gimmick's own Michael Plowman.
Matt Taven and Dalton Castle. Endorsed. I hope you watched that episode, Michael.
I actually saw that bit in Heathrow Airport.
Yeah.
Because I saw that you'd gone live and we were just waiting for our gate to be announced. Like, I'm just going to watch this for a little bit. And it was Matt Taven freaking out over the name Michael Plowman. And his great line is like, it's perfect. He's a baby face in the winter. He's a heel in the summer. join him, John Iowa.
Yes,
join him indeed.
Big bad Blake Lloyd.
Oh, he's big and he's bad. Martin Santoya talking to me.
You're talking to me. The Perfect Storm, Noah Trombley. Thank
Ooh.
You.
Coordinator Travis Webb.
Yeah.
Stuck, mate.
I think he's talking to you. Damian Thompson.
That's two Simpsons references in this Hell one yeah. block we've got here. The monster among Patreons, Braun Strowman.
Oh,
or Brian Strowman, rather.
Is Stream Slayer. Yes.
And Andy Datson's single greatest contribution to this channel. So handsome, he makes all the boys Joe Ellis.
Joe Ellis. Thank you ever so much. Before we see what you guys think, I put up a poll on the community tab this morning. First time we've done this because We don't usually like to go head-to-head, put NXT and AEW against each other, but I thought it'd be an interesting tradition to start on these Thursdays.
Yeah, because we did it in sort of when we were still trying to work out this whole new Wednesday Night War thing. We were doing the AEW and NXT reviews sort of in about 4 minutes, but in the same video. We did it on that one, do a, which show did you prefer this week, along with a score this for AEW, score this for NXT. And that has always been broadly an AEW win for the few weeks that we did do it anyway.
Well, I guess that was in the early days before the NXT invasion.
That's exactly it, yeah. But now we've got the NXT invasion of Raw and SmackDown, and I feel like NXT is now on this big upswing, and a very, very exciting big upswing.
And that is reflected in the poll. So 9,500 people voted in this. That's
usually way more than video polls.
Yeah. 49% for Dynamite, 51% from NXT.
That is neck and neck.
You can't call that.
No.
That's Brexit.
I mean, you can call it NXT what?
No. You can't call it. Referendum. That took me by surprise quite a lot.
Well, NXT also did have the fabulous ladder match.
With Mia Yim.
Yeah, and it had a really good Leo Rush and Angel Garza.
Yes.
And you got all the Keith Lee stuff in there as well. And it felt like it was a big, big newsworthy show.
If you had to put your money on it, who do you think's winning the ratings this week?
I actually wonder if NXT is going to get the win this week in the ratings. I really do think that. Like, last week it was super close. I think this week we're going to see NXT beat AEW.
And it's not just whether NXT beats AEW, because if NXT does 1.1 million and AEW does 1 million, I'd say that's a win for everyone.
It's a win for everyone, yeah.
But if that NXT audience increases to the detriment of AEW, that's the big metric I'd be looking at.
Yeah.
That would be quite worrying, especially coming off of a pay-per-view.
Totally, yeah.
Fully loaded, what a show. So let's see what you guys thought so far on the Jericho loss. Jobber JJ 496, when you're having a blood feud fight and an Orange Cassidy is just standing there, you can say freshly beaten. Ollie, do you want to join my inner circle? Yeah, sure. I'm joining the circles. New Punk Rants. It's good because it seems Chris Jericho is about to have a midlife crisis arc or something of that caliber. It sets up Sky well. I trust Y2J though. Hashtag goat.
I thought Jericho's freak out after the match as well was absolutely fantastic. You know, ripping up the guardrail, smacking it with a chair, smacking the chair into it. It was like, it was an old WCW Jericho freak out.
Yeah. It really put over the loss. Fantastic work from Jericho. Power Packers 90, best part was Jericho recreating his WCW meltdown.
There you go.
I think you looked ahead.
I honestly, I didn't know because it's in my notes.
Jobber JJ 496, Ollie, I hear what you're saying. Save Pentagon match. Are they saying to save the Pentagon
match? Yeah, you can
match?
Save the Pentagon match for later.
Okay. Clifford Miller, Luke is trying to be nice to Ollie during the Scorpio Sky bit, much like the nice Asian. Much like the nice Asian man was trying to be nice to Luke about chopsticks.
Hashtag manners. So that is, go back, go listen to the Raw review podcast intro where I can explain that story.
Yeah.
But that's a very, very good super chat.
Get on with the full play-by-play of the show. Started with a recap of Full Gear. What a show. We haven't spoken about it.
We haven't, no. But it was, you know, I honestly believe, come the end of the year, that is one of the shows we'll look back on and be like, that was one of the best shows of the year. Because it was just consistently great throughout.
And while I really, really love all the AEW shows so far, I'm talking the big pay-per-view ones and All In last year, if you count that as well, this was so much more rewarding. Because I've got that weekly commitment and investment in all the guys and storylines.
Exactly. I was so into that Cody Jericho match.
Yeah.
And I knew the result.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, no, because I saw the show. I got back from Japan. I was a bit groggy. I didn't really fancy just diving straight back into the world of wrestling. So I gave
and
it a couple
call
of...
call yourself a wrestling
so
fan.
I gave it a couple of days before I got back in. So by the time I actually got round to the show, I'd already more or less seen all the results. But even so, I was still mad into it.
I haven't really actually had a chance to talk about my opinions. I actually didn't agree with a lot of the booking decisions they made.
Is it because you did very poorly in the predictions?
No, it's because Pentagon Jr. wasn't more heavily featured. I'll come on to it in the MJF bit. But even it's AEW have so much good faith with me right now because, you know, they're consistently very logical and they improve. When I think, oh, that wasn't very good, it's like the next week they fixed it. So loads of leeway from me. But that means even when I don't agree with certain directions they've taken on the show, because they've told their stories to create 5, 6, 7 different possibilities, I'm like, oh, yeah, but this one's still, it's not my favourite option, but I still love all AEW and this new storyline.
That's the Scorpio Sky Pentagon.
Yeah.
Angle, really. It's just that we've sort of, because Lucha Brothers didn't win the tag titles, we've fractured off into this different timeline of events where we're getting this one. And this one's still great.
Yeah.
This one could have also been very good as well.
Better.
Or better.
So what I really liked about this recap, though, was that they do the usual, here's the full gear recap, that they didn't include Omega and Mox's highlights because it was unsanctioned. That's what it was in my head. They didn't say that outright.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they had a different video package afterwards.
I loved this video pack. This was so good. Yes, we got a recap of Moxley versus Omega, the unsanctioned match from Fully Loaded / Full Gear. And it was, you know, showing all the big brutal bits. And it made it look like, man, you've got to get the replay to check this out. And they were actually putting that over in the show as well, being like, get the replay, folks. Very interesting, actually. One of the comments we got on the Full Gear review that we did, that me and Simon did, saying that, do you think that AEW will lower their price points? $50 is too much to ask for a pay-per-view. And my argument to that was, we're in a quarterly era.
Yes.
I think the network has spoiled people in that we're now, there is a generation of people now that are just used to getting everything for $10 a month.
Mm.
Whereas like back in the day, you know, only 6 years ago, you'd be paying $50 a month in order to get every WWE show. And sometimes they do 2 a month. So actually, I think them, you know, asking $50 every 4 months isn't the end of the world.
3 months.
Sorry, every 3 months. You're absolutely right. Sorry, I still had quarterly in my head.
That's cool. The it is an interesting business move. And I think it's the right one. Mm. Yeah, because WWE have looked at Spotify, Netflix, that gym membership drip feed
exactly,
of content,
yeah.
Where you the pressure's kind of off you having to deliver a consistently very good product. But what AEW is looking towards is boxing. And that's really the closest thing to professional wrestling in terms of how the business model is structured and how you get over stars. That's where the roots of the business are. So, and wrestling pay-per-views, yeah, that's how much they cost.
Yeah, but it's also, now when you do these post-shows, these sort of like first shows after a pay-per-view, you can show these sort of highlight packages with the intent of not just, here's the storyline, it's also, you've got to get the replay. Replays are available, go watch the replay of this show.
So this is kind of separate to the replay after a few little hardcore spots. It's Omega with the medic backstage afterwards, like, not immediately afterwards? Was it immediately afterwards?
No, I think it was like a couple of days later. After. Yeah.
And he's getting checked out. His back looks horrible. Yeah. Looks like Dusty Rhodes' forehead. And he's got this black eye, which probably was made up.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look very realistic. But it's not about that. He's talking very realistically about how the shower stung.
Yeah.
Like, what a visceral image.
That's really nice, yeah. But the key to this is that the doctor did not clear him to wrestle. So Kenny looks very bummed about that. And he asks, how's Mox? And the doctor knows that what he is about to say is not what Omega needs to hear. And he goes, he's banged up, but he was cleared to wrestle. And the crushing look on Omega's face where he realized, not only did I lose the match, I failed.
Yeah.
Because I can't wrestle.
Uh-huh.
And he can.
Low key, that is one of the best things AEW's ever done.
Yeah, it was actually my favourite thing on the show.
That little interchange. What a beautiful character moment. And you've got to think, that's coming from Kenny.
Yeah.
That's totally, like that real nuance, attention to detail and character shifts, that's totally within his wheelhouse and what he told in that Ibushi storyline in New Japan.
Loved this.
Fantastic.
So, so good. But also, Michael Nakazawa was there because he's a training partner of of Omega, and that led into the opening match of the night, which was John Moxley versus Michael Nakazawa. Mm. Nakazawa was going to do comedy with the baby oil, but he's like, no, I'm angry. I'm going to beat you up because you've hurt my friends. Very quickly, paradigm shifts, and Moxley won.
It was a nice transition into the paradigm shift.
Yeah, it really was.
It was sort of a step over. It wasn't the lift up. It was just kind of a step version. And then Moxley just goes off to cut this awesome promo.
Night of promos, AEW Dynamite was this evening.
It's a show of promo. Like, yeah. And that's not that sounds like it's just promos. No, it's very, very good promo.
The reason I said it was night of promos is it felt like after every single match ended, someone was like, pass me a microphone.
Yeah,
I've got something to add to this. I've got a storyline to start. Pass me the mic.
The pay-per-view cycle has just restarted.
I need to start something new.
But it always felt natural. Mox grabs the mic and he just screams up the ramp. So that one counts, right?
Great line.
And you know, he doesn't have to over-explain it. We all know what he means.
Yep.
That the unsanctioned match doesn't count towards his record. And he kind of resents management for doing it that way. And he says Omega's never going to be the same again. But he does respect him. Which is a fantastic wrestling promo of putting over the guy in defeat. You look better for defeating the guy because you've made him look good. It's just perfect wrestling promo work. And then he says, no one's got the balls to step into the ring with me. I'm going to purge AEW till I'm the only one left standing. Which is the first time I've had like a real clarified mission statement for Mox's character.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, and it's really nice.
Previously, it's just been, I am chaos.
I am the purveyor of violence.
not disinformation. And he...
He effectively issued an open challenge.
Yeah. He keeps talking. And I'm just like, all right, can't wait for the interruption here. Can't wait for the interruption. He's just saying, if you come down here, you better have the ambulance on speed dial.
Yeah.
You better say goodbye to your wife.
Kiss your loved ones goodbye and have an ambulance on speed dial. And then, but no one answers. And Mox just leaves. And it made me go like, someone is going to answer on this show, or it's going to be on next week's show. But I was racking my brain of like, who is it going to be that's answering? And then when the match happened where we got the answer, as soon as that person came out, I was like, I hope it's him. Yeah. I hope it's him that answers the challenge.
Because I was sitting there going, and I'm being conditioned to get this quite fast paced booking, which really isn't my preferred way of doing things, where, someone would interrupt him right away. And so I'm like, I wanted it right there, but I didn't need it.
Yeah.
But I needed
that's
later.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
But Moxie here just genuinely felt dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, he genuinely felt... Like, I stopped thinking about him as a fake wrestler. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. He's had a great, great year in terms of his AEW. I mean, you could look at the injection in the butt stuff as probably not a great start to the year. But I think since Mania, since May, he has been just like, he went on a tear through the G1.
Yeah.
I think he's been on fire in AEW. I think he's had a great, great year.
This year alone, he nearly had a feud with Nia Jax. After that, we got Dark Order versus Jungle Express.
Jurassic Express.
What did I say, Joe? That's the band. Yeah. That's the 90s hip-hop act. I've just written here, I do like the Dark Order. They've grown on me massively, particularly mostly because of Stu Grayson.
Just Grayson now.
Just Grayson.
He's lost his name. A WWE.
It's very WWE. That's just...
But they referenced to it in the commentary. Said, like, he's a man who's lost his first name.
Mm. But I don't like the Minions. Mm-hmm. I think the Minions...
Cheap in the act.
Yeah, totally. And then out come Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt for the Jurassic Express lineup. And Stunt's wearing the Luchasaurus mask. He gets on Jungle Boy's back, which is a nice flip round of Jungle Boy getting on Luchasaurus's back. Of course, Luchasaurus unfortunately got injured first week, wasn't it?
Well, it was the second week, because it was when they were going to start the tag title tournament. It's like second or third week or whatever it was. But it was just before their tag tournament title match against the Lucha Brothers. And it, like, totally sucked for Luchasaurus, because he got so massively over at Double or Nothing in the Casino Battle Royale, and then just became one of the most consistent. He just got more and more over as time went on when AEW were doing these shows, to the point where him and Jungle Boy became like, they're one of the biggest tag acts they've got in this company now. And they've got, I think they had the biggest selling t-shirt as well. it just felt like this was their moment. And I think had Luchasaurus not got injured, they might have got further in the tournament.
Oh, I totally think so.
Even though they were up against the Lucha Brothers in the first round.
And with that gimmick, which is just, I can't believe no one's done that gimmick before.
Yeah.
You're always going to be over. Add to that, he looks amazing. He's so tall and just muscular. And he's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you were going to say he's a really good-looking dude, because he is a handsome dude. Underneath that mask, he is a handsome dude. And, you know, we're trying not to do this too much in the show. If he'd gone to WWE, because he's so handsome, they were like, take the mask off.
Yeah. You
need to get rid of that mask and get rid of the dinosaur thing and just be, do you know what you need? Some suspenders and a little hat.
Oh, yes.
Give you the Andrade push. Yeah.
So, the match gets going. Marco Stump, the commentary team bring up how some people have taken against Marco Stump being allowed to appear on a wrestling show because he is a very short person.
Yeah, he's like 4 foot nothing.
Yeah, and I showed my lady partner this match because I was curious to get her take.
Interesting.
And I was like, what do you think? And unfortunately, Stunt wasn't very good here, I thought.
No, didn't have the best night. Quite
a few botches, like right from the get-go as well. Mm. But I think he's very empathetic. And as long as he's not genuinely overpowering people larger than him, and he works around the speed and quickness,
yeah,
I don't mind it. It's not my hill to die on.
No.
But my lady partner watched him, didn't care.
Just didn't care.
Just didn't care.
It really is a wrestling thing. Yeah. I think it's a wrestling fan thing. It's the people. It's the same people that take against Kevin Owens because he doesn't look like a wrestler.
Yeah.
You can't push him as a main eventer. He wrestles in basketball shorts. You can't push him.
He
doesn't look like Batista.
The more fast-paced stuff and the double-team stuff with Jungle Boy was better for Stunt. He sort of came into his own there. Nice swanton from Evil Uno.
Yeah, nice one. And I really liked Grayson's one to the outside. Mm. It was like the Eddie Guerrero sort of like slingshot senton, but doing it to the outside of the apron. And actually, I know you're not keen on the minions. I did like them all line up alongside Grayson to do the hand thing. I thought that was a really nice touch.
But Stunt's worked over for the majority. Jungle Boy gets a really good hot tag and huge pop for Jungle Boy. Slightly botched finish, but it ends with the Dark Order beating Stunt.
Yeah, they hit the fatality for the win, which is a cool move, actually.
And then Evil Uno gets on the mic.
Yeah, and this is the weird thing about Dark Order, I need to call them Super Smash Brothers then. I always figured Grayson's the leader. Even though it's Uno is the one that sat in the throne.
Oh, really?
I always pick it. And it might just be because when I saw Uno, I was like, he's probably not going to be talking. And it's going to be Grayson's going to be the one to do the talking. And then when Uno cut the promo, I was like, oh, of course he's the leader. He sits in the bloody throne.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I'm a classic idiot for not seeing this.
But he offers Stunt a minion mask.
And Stunt nearly takes it as well. Jungle Boy gets in.
No, and then the Dark Order start beating him down. But then out comes Luchasaurus.
The crowd picked up. As soon as they were being beaten down, the crowd started going, Luchasaurus. And they started chanting for him. And I was like,
I thought he was injured for a while.
Yeah, they said he was out till January. They thought he was going to be out till January. But he made his shock return here, just walking down to the ring, just slapping these minions left, right, and center, or the creepers, I think they're actually really cool. And then at one point does a headbutt as one of them dives at him, him out of the air, hits a spinning kick to take out three of them at the same time.
Cool.
Choke slams Grayson, he choke slams one of the creepers out of the ring onto a load of other creepers, hit the standing moonsault, and Jurassic Express then hug in the ring. Like they all dive in and they all hug him. And I was like, this is absolutely, this is wonderful.
This is so sweet because I think one of the huge appeals of Luchasaurus isn't just because he's cool, isn't just because he's got a great look, isn't just because he's a great wrestler. It's because we are of the Jurassic Park generation.
That's true, we are.
And the idea of having a dinosaur as a best friend is something that resonates with me emotionally, even at this age.
I wonder if that's why I got so emotional watching The Good Dinosaur, which is not a good movie. Like, it is. It's so fine. It is the biggest 3-star fine movie. I was crying so much watching that movie. I got so emotional.
Was it on a plane?
No, I was at a press screening, embarrassingly enough.
So And I think the crowd really got it. This was so sweet. A fantastic return for Luchasaurus. Great. This was, and it's classic pay-per-view cycle begins again. Here's all the returns and big stuff. Just perfect. I loved this. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, thought it was great.
Then we got Shawn Spears versus Peter Avalon versus Darby Allin. Love Shawn's entrance.
It's really cool, yeah. I really like it.
Lights out, sitting on the chair with no music. Peter Avalon comes out. He was just there to take a loss, really. The Librarians Act isn't over. Darby comes out to a huge pop.
Yeah, this crowd was so... I think the crowd... I don't know if they knew what the match was ahead of time, but I think when they thought... Because I had this reaction as well. When I thought it was just Shawn Spears versus Peter Avalon, I was like, I'm not as into this as much as I'd like to be. And then as soon as Darby Allin's music hits... Which, by the way, is a fabulous song. It's on Spotify as well, and it's now on my playlist. It's such a really good song. As soon as he came out, instantly, I was way more into this match. And that was when I was like, I hope it's Darby Allin that answers the Moxley challenge. I really hope it's Allin.
Yeah, so I didn't see this coming. Janela comes down to brawl with Spears, so that feud's continuing, it seems. I don't think it needs to.
No, it's because it felt like at Full Gear we were setting up to do Janela versus Kip Sabian.
Yes.
Because Kip and Penelope Ford are now an item. Mm. And their promo seemed to be targeting Janela because she was like, why be bad when you can be super bad?
Yeah. But it seems the... Well, I've written Shawn versus Spears feud's going to go on, but that's wrong.
Good note taking.
So then Levy Bates, Blue Pants, tries to swipe Darby's legs, jumps over it.
Can and you he not hits say Lever Bates?
Lever Bates. Hits the coffin drop for the win. I was like, cool. Yeah, saw that coming. But then he grabs the mic, and that's when you can see my notes, whole S word. As soon as he grabbed the mic, I was like, oh my God. Now, and then he just says, John Moxley, I accept.
Oh, yes. So into it.
I'm worried.
I'm just like, do you know what? The only thing that upsets me about this, the only thing I'm disappointed about in all this is it's next week.
Yeah.
I don't want this next week. I want this in 4 weeks' time.
Make me wait.
Make me wait for this match. I want to see some build for this match. I want to see some promo work between these people, between these two, to build to that match. That's my only complaint about this, is that I'm getting it too soon.
I'm nervously excited. Because it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well,
oh, actually, it's, no, not, it's on TV.
It's on TV.
I don't know how you can do this match. Okay. Well, I'm very much into it, whatever it is. I'm hugely excited.
Yeah.
What an inspired piece of booking. I don't know how I didn't realise it sooner. Then we got Nyla Rose come out. This is the first time we've seen her since she lost in the inaugural Women's Championship match.
Apart from AEW Dark.
Wow.
And that felt like that was the other big point that they wanted to do on this show, was put over how important AEW Dark is. And picking up victories there is just as important as picking up victories on Dynamite and on pay-per-view, because I have seen a few people be like, well, this doesn't make any sense. It's like, but if they got wins on AEW Dark, which is then set up stuff down the line. So I think what AEW realized is that we need to try and promote Dark more to get people watching it and see how important it is in terms of this. Because actually, I saw someone, because I think the Young Bucks, I think it was Matt Jackson, tweeted out saying, like, this week's AEW Dark is can't miss. And someone tweeted him saying, like, why isn't it on Dynamite then? And he replies, because we want to make Dark can't miss TV as well.
Yeah. Which, you know, if you've got AEW Dark, that's been one of the main criticisms since Dynamite launched, promoted on Dynamite more.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly it.
My problem comes a bit further back in the process than that, though. We don't need more wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm quite baffled that they've launched and gone, we need another show.
And to have a second show.
If it was up to me, why make it hard on yourselves? Just do Dynamite. But, yeah. So Nyla Rose came out. She squashed a jobber really quickly.
Danny Jordan.
I've just written down Jordan. Simple.
Yeah, really. So I like that they did put over, though, that Rose has struggled against smaller wrestlers in the past, in particular Riho, because she lost the title match to her. But Rose, just killed her and hit the Beast Bomb for the win.
Then the Dozen Battle Royal was announced for next week.
We also got an update on Dustin Rhodes. Mm-hmm. He'll be back in a few weeks, and they recapped his injury angle. Again, setting up, furthering that feud of Dustin versus Jake Hager.
Yeah. But this doesn't battle royal. You get a diamond ring. I like the medal stuff from last week. I don't really...
What was this medal stuff last week?
Oh, so last
week... I didn't see last week's show.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. So it was essentially a bronze medal
match. Oh, wow. Is there actually like medals for it?
For the tag title tournament.
I know they've done Dark Order versus Private Party, because that's how Private Party got into the title match.
They got bronze medals. Yeah, it was the bronze medal match. Okay. I really like that. It's something that initially sounds naff. But I've got so much faith in this company. By next week, I might be like, well, hey, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. It's a 12-man Battle Royal, and the final two will have a match, and at the end of it, they win a ring. Maybe it's just because I have zero interest in wearing a ring, apart from my wedding ring. This is the only ring I've ever owned in my life. So maybe it's just that I don't see the appeal. But then again, if you're a football fan and the idea of getting a Super Bowl ring...
Hall of Fame ring.
Or a Hall of Fame ring is a big deal. It's just, it doesn't really appeal to me. So I'm like...
Green Lantern.
Well, if it gave you the power of the Green Lantern, I might be in a different position.
Then we get Ali. I think this is a Dynamite debut.
Yeah.
Cena?
Yeah, I don't think she has been on Dynamite. No, but she kind of brings that up because they've been saying that she's been getting wins on Dark. Again, pointing over, you know, trying to get over the importance of that. And by getting those wins on Dark, that's been climbing her in the power rankings. And she now wants to transition her wins from Dark onto Dynamite. Got off to a bad start here because she got completely wiped out by Awesome Kong.
Yeah, Awesome Kong did the thing she did on the... Full Gear, the Fully Loaded pre-show, where she comes out with Brandi Rhodes, chops off a bit of Ali's hair, puts it in her belt. Ali's number 4 in the power rankings, apparently. This was a bad week for the women's division. The Nyla Rose stuff was fine, it's a squash match. She's back on TV. I wasn't really emotionally invested in it at all. And Ali, I was like, oh, you're number 4 in the power rankings. I haven't seen you for a while.
Because you're not watching AEW Dark,
man. And then the Awesome Kong Brandi Rhodes stuff, which just doesn't do anything for me.
Okay, it's interesting.
And it was all like, you know, it was all for a promotion that's like, look at our amazing women's division.
I think you put it on a podcast recently, and I completely agree with you, where you said the women's division is currently lip service.
Yeah.
And I think that nothing highlights that more than the fact that the first pay-per-view women's defense was against Emi Sakura, who had two TV appearances, one of which was a tag loss where she took the pinfall, and then she was getting wins on Dark to set up a win that she got on TV, you know, 3 days before the show aired. I don't think... And as much as Emi Sakura is great, and, you know, there's a lot of history between her and Riho, there was... zero build to it.
Yeah,
I will say at least there's some build now. You know, we're getting a storyline in the women's division, and that's good.
I just think that it's a women's division pulled in two directions. You've got what Omega wants to do with all the Joshi wrestlers, and you've got what Brandi Rhodes wants to do, which is voodoo stories with Awesome Kong.
Is it a voodoo thing?
I don't know. That it certainly harkened back to that with the taking of the hair and the VTs that ran beforehand.
Okay,
the veil.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen the VTs of that day, because I think the VT started while I was away.
Yeah.
For Awesome Kong and Brandi Rhodes. The last Brandi Rhodes thing I saw was the one where she interviewed the interviewer.
And yes. The week after that.
These right. VTs, okay.
Yeah. The women's division just. It's like I like Rio matches. I like Jamie Hayter. Everything else is a bit. Lackluster, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, I said this in the Full Gear review as well. I was actually really disappointed in AEW's build of Bea Priestley versus Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Considering that started at like Fyter Fest and you had so much kind of story to build up from there. And then to build into, they did it all out where, you know, Bea Priestley cost her the Casino Battle Royale and then nothing was done on TV. Absolutely little for it was done on TV. And then they just had a match that was on the pre-show. I thought... What a waste of time.
So after this, however, after like, it wasn't the best. After the Darby Allin stuff, it was like quite a pretty, not rubbish 20 minutes, but a flat 20 minutes. But then out comes Le Champion. He comes out, he cuts an in-ring promo. He's the greatest of all time, baby. He wants the thank yous from the people that matter, not you assholes in Nashville.
Yep, lovely stuff.
Because he had to turn the crowd against him.
Yeah.
And then the lights cut out. And you're like, here's Cody. It's the Cody entrance. I love Cody's entrance as well. It's like the Darth Vader. I always think of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That opens up.
Yeah.
And it's MJF.
I...
That son of a bitch!
I got worked here.
I got worked!
I totally got worked here because I was like, Cody's coming out. Cody's going to come out and he's going to be the bigger man and he's going to say...
Yes.
You know, I lost. I'm not going to challenge this belt again. They're going to have this. And that's going to be the start of Cody's next storyline. And when MJF was standing there and the crowd, when they realized nuclear levels of hate, MJF is, he is pure heel.
Mm.
He is what Sami Callihan was last year. Remember Sami Callihan, like 2018 Sami Callihan, Tommaso Ciampa, 2018 Tommaso Ciampa of just like,
yeah,
I'm not cheering you because you're cool. I'm booing you because I don't like you. And that is what MJF gets. This crowd do not like MJF. Mm. And this internet critic here does not like MJF.
As a character.
As a character. Well, actually, no, because I interviewed him as well. He was a dick to me.
It was fantastic. The only thing it could have done with, in my opinion, is a record scratch.
Do you know my favourite part of this, though?
I'm here to show the world.
It's because it's not like MJF's music starts playing. It's still Cody's song. Yeah. Like, it's still his American Nightmare song. And he starts doing the Cody entrance. Uh-huh. He gets to the end of the road, so he goes, oh, come on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Pulling a stupid face. And it made me go, like, that's an important entrance to me.
I know.
You dick.
Oh, it worked. It's brilliant heel work.
It's and it cuts, so good.
It cuts to individual people in the crowd. This guy just goes, boo!
Yeah.
Usually I hate these isolated shots to single people in the crowd, and I think AEW need to stop it fast. It's a Kevin Dunnism that has no place in a serious wrestling show.
Agreed.
But they did it. They hit a few winners here.
Well, this is it. It's and this the crowd reaction shots is you bat 100 and you hit 2.
Yeah.
But and there's all and there's 98 that are
on their
rubbish.
Phones.
Yeah, they're on their phones, not reacting the way you want. But when you do get those two, you're like, oh, actually. Yeah, some of those were really good. Miz Girl, like, that's a winner.
Undertaker guy,
that's a winner. And then it's like, everything else is bad.
The guy cheering when Roman Reigns said he was going to quit or something. Yeah. So, MJF, this is where my... So, I loved the Cody-Jericho match. My problem with it was MJF throws in the towel... And I felt like that towel spot wasn't built up enough.
Me and Simon said the same thing on our review. Yeah.
I think as soon as Cody takes that bump on the ramp, I know that was apparently a botch. I'm quite surprised it was a botch. I thought it was totally planned. That from that moment on, you should be holding the towel.
Completely,
like,
yeah.
Every time Cody's in a submission or just looking on the ropes,
yeah.
Which was a lot. So when it just MJF's on the apron, throws in a towel out of nowhere... But then he turned heel on Cody and the post-match angle. And I thought, well, you should have really had the towel as a feature more to make it more dramatic and not just like this Deus Ex Machina that comes at the end. But MJF was always going to turn on him. The point wasn't that he was trying to protect Cody. But in MJF's promo here, he said that he did throw in the towel to protect Cody.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so he says that people don't like him because he threw the towel at him, but he did it because he was saving Cody's career. And I thought, actually, I do think this is quite nice, really, because he talks about how Cody is the real villain and how Cody is trying to make him seem like the bad guy in all of this, when actually MJF was doing not the right thing by Cody, but like, I've added years to your career. So really, you should be thanking me for what I did as opposed to trying to paint me as the bad guy here.
I guess, yeah, I was just a bit confused. I didn't think it was the neatest told story.
It's not the neatest told story.
That's super nitpicky, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's still very good.
On a WrestleTalk thing.
But for me,
it's like I've got to sort of like, it's only really through this sort of discussion period that I'm working out that rationale, again, to kind of highlight this wasn't the best told narrative of the promo.
Yeah.
But it's only now we're sort of talking about, I'm like, oh, okay, right, now I'm connecting the dots here.
And I think that is because... While the turn was great, I think the stuff around the turn at Full Gear was just something was off. But that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I just thought it wasn't 100% and so much stuff that AEW does.
But it sounds like you hate
it. But from that point onwards, apart from a few repetitive gags, this whole segment was brilliant. MJF And we haven't really had a chance to see him in full MJF mode on Dynamite because he's been serving as Cody's second. He's incredible.
Yeah. What I loved about this segment is that when it's all said and done, and you kind of like, you can look back on it in hindsight, this was two heels who in the back, in my sort of like kayfabe imaginary world, had gone in the back and be like, do you know what would be really funny tonight? If we go out there and we pretend like we don't like each other, but we just do it because we don't like Cody.
Yeah.
And so we can do the big reveal at the end where we go, Cody Rhodes is rubbish. And that's it. And like that was their mentality. As these heels, they're yucking it up backstage and be like, we're going to work every single one of these dickheads out there. And it's going to be so much fun. And we as heels, chuck, yuck, yuck, we're going to have a fun old time doing it. And I loved it. I thought it was just these two heels going out there to work a crowd in a kayfabe world. And just for their own amusement.
Hugely entertaining. Very, very funny. I haven't seen anyone else say this, though, so forgive me if I'm repeating stuff. This is totally what Jericho and Owens did in that famous Roman Reigns promo. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That they teased that they're going to break up for ages. I think it's a highlight reel.
Yeah, I think it pretty much is exactly what it was.
No, you're what's wrong with this company. No, you're what's wrong with this company. Go back. All right, we're going to say what we really think, like blah, blah, blah. Roman Reigns sucks or something like
that's
that.
That's exactly it.
So I'm not saying it was bad.
And it's the exact same rationale there. Yeah. It was just these two heels going like, let's go out there and work everyone.
And then they hug afterwards.
Yeah.
But what MJF did here was his reason behind turning on Cody was that, and I think he believes this as a heel, is that Cody took him as a puppet. Cody's a sociopath. Cody only wants to control MJF when MJF is better than Cody. He's tried to keep him under his thumb, but his thumb wasn't big enough, which is a really nice,
really nice line. Yeah.
And he'll be the new face of AEW. He says all this while Jericho is in the same ring as him. And that's what creates the conflict of MJF being like, I'm going to be the big face. And like, well, the champion is right there. And he calls the inner circle the inner circle jerk.
Nice. And then said, sorry, Freudian slip.
Yeah. And which is a really nice joke at his expense.
Yeah.
It's very well done. And it was weird. It was like seeing a version, an alternate universe version of Jericho. This was in a different scarf.
It was Looper.
It was
because Jericho said, we've got a lot in common. Both good looking guys. We both like scarves. We're both from New York, even though obviously Jericho's from Canada.
Yeah, I like that line. Yeah.
And then said, he goes, it really feels like your parents got jiggy after watching me beat up Juventud Guerrero on WCW Saturday night, then 9 months later, your jackass was born. And MJF looks really annoyed. And then he goes, I don't know who Juventud Guerrero is.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Hoovy chart?
Yeah,
well?
Hoovy chart.
That was a fantastic joke.
Tony Schiavone laughed and then said, sorry, I had to laugh.
Jericho was so good here. As was MJF. And they're just going back and forth about Jericho. MJF saying, I've heard you want me to join the inner circle. And Jericho's saying, I've heard you want to join the inner circle. And they do that. It didn't quite work comedically, which is a shame because it totally works on paper. I just thought it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't work in front of the live crowd. And that's what built into Cody's.
Yeah, who's the biggest jackass in this company? And they both say Cody Rhodes and they hug. And Cody comes out. Brilliant pop for Cody as he comes out. Agents are being like, no, because you are also not cleared to wrestle at the moment. And he's got the big sort of stitches and the big gross cut on his head. But he rushes to the ring, goes after both of them, hits power slams on them. And then who should debut? But Statler and Wardlow debuts.
I've been calling him Wardlow Salad. He's much bigger than a salad.
Yeah. He makes his debut. Crowd weren't... I don't think they knew who it was. And it's funny because they said, like, I think it was Schiavone said, we've seen hype packages for him for months. And I said, we've seen two hype packages. One was it All Out. And then he was never mentioned again. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, he's still coming.
Yeah.
And then we haven't heard anything for a couple of weeks again either.
It wasn't the most effective debut. No one knew who he was. But MJF has a second. And they got the heat back at the end because the visual was so good. Wardrobe throws, he's built like one, throws Cody over the top rope and sort of chokes him by his tie, which is a nice sort of hanging visual.
Yeah.
And then MJF and Wardrobe walk out.
Yeah.
So So MJF hasn't sided with the Inner Circle.
No.
That, I think that's just, even though they hugged and everything, I think it's just heels being heels, like you said. This was terrific.
Yeah. I liked MJF on Twitter said, sorry if you got choked up tonight, Cody. Also, really nice visually for this beatdown, this Wardlow beatdown, is that Cody's wounds was reopened where he got the stitches. It reopened. He was bleeding from the eye again. And I was like, that's really nice because that's Cody being a hothead and being like, no, I know I'm not cleared to wrestle, but I really want to go out there and beat them. And in the process has effectively probably added another week onto him not being cleared to wrestle again. And I think that's something you might be able to work from there.
Cody's acting as well. He came out kind of, he looked concussed. And I'm like, is he concussed from the emotional shock of MJF turning on him or the bad bump he took?
Well, you do get bad concussions from kicks in the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
where everyone's brain is.
Well, there was the dive into the center of the earth. So after this was Hangman Page versus Pac, which is like the fourth match, I think they
had.
It's
the fourth match,
if you include the WrestleGate match.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because there was the WrestleGate one, then there was the first episode of Dynamite.
There was one at all. There was no, of course, because Page was facing Jericho.
So it was WrestleGate, first episode of Dynamite, Full Gear, then this one. And because the first one was a draw, effectively it was a no contest, and then Pac won on the debut episode of Dynamite. Page won at Full Gear. This was the rubber match, the actual rubber match, even though they kept calling the match at Full Gear the rubber match. This was the actual rubber match.
Well, I guess, do they count the WrestleGate one as canon?
I think
not as canon, but as sanctioned.
They did at Full Gear, and are now appearing not to.
We'll see where that goes. But I because they've wrestled quite a bit already, they can just go straight into the big moves.
Yes.
This was a Paul Heyman booked match.
Yeah.
From the very first moment, Pac hits this huge moonsault, the Page moonsault to the outside.
Nice touch in there, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just because you've got so much stuff to work with, pre-existing spots, they beautifully wove that into the narrative of this match, where there was one point where they're outside, they're by the chair in the corner. Why is that chair always there? Pac's going to hit the brainbuster on it. Oh, no. Page, suplex right into the ground.
Yeah, he hits a brainbuster instead. They did a lot of like the repeats, not repeat spots, but callback spots.
Yes.
They went to do the distracting of the referee, the low blow, but he caught him. But this time, Pac was ready for him to catch it so he could capitalize on that. Some really, really nice stuff on this. I actually, Simon and I talked about this on a Full Gear review. I loved the Full Gear match so much. And I said it was the best match these two have had in their series.
I agree.
I didn't want to see it again. Like, I could have, you know, moved on and gone to see other things. But I actually thought this was really, really great. And Pac getting the win and establishing that he won the series, I think is put a really nice full stop on it. And I'm interested to see where these two go next.
Best of seven tag team.
Tag them together.
I'm only kidding. I loved the finish as well. Wrestling Observer Radio said they found the finish a bit like odd. I thought it was wicked. It was just, and because there was where did it get to? There was a huge buckshot lariat
from near fall.
Page, and then they get back in the ring, and then Pac sort of uses where the referee is to just put Page a little bit off his footing, and then he hits one kick to the head. It was like a pumper kick, wasn't it?
Yeah,
a
that's bicycle it, yeah.
kick. And then another. And then Page is down on the ground. He looks knocked out. Pac runs down, just starts stomping on his head.
The commentators put over that this didn't need the Black Arrow and the Brutalizer. They said he's been out since that kick.
Yeah, they were saying the referee should stop it. I love knockout finishes. I don't. It's such a big, impactful way to end a match. I don't know why wrestling doesn't do it more.
Yes, but he kept going back and stamping on the head. The referee would pull him off. And he was like, no, I'm just going to go around and just start stamping on the head again. Eventually goes up, hits the Black Arrow to the back. Page hasn't moved. And then just locks in the Brutalizer. Page has been out for some time at this point. And the ref's just like, okay, now I'm going to call it.
Tony Khan better have an inquiry into that referee. If that was UFC, there'd be like, everyone would be up in uproar. Why didn't you finish the match? I love this finish.
I thought it was really good.
And just the viciousness of going from the Black Arrow straight into the Brutalizer when the guy's already knocked out. And there was this really, really good Excalibur line, I think it was. Shivani says, he wins the match, he wins the series, are you happy? And Excalibur just says, he'll never be happy.
Dudley,
That's Pac's character.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, we'll run through this because we need to get to the super chats. And we've got Laurie and Simon, of course, coming in right after this to do NXT. It cuts backstage to a brawl with the Young Bucks and Santana and Ortiz.
This feud must continue. And I think they were embarrassed after their win at Full Gear because the Rock and Roll Express came in, did that fantastic Canadian Destroyer and dive. I'm just gutted we're not getting Santana and Ortiz versus the Rock and Roll Express, which is what I thought we were going
that
to get.
Be
although, as Simon put it, it's just like, essentially, they need to be Weekend and Bernied into all of their matches. They basically need the Young Bucks attached to each one of them to be like, and now we're going to go over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was like, it was a fun brawl backstage. Ortiz dived off a forklift, and then him and Nick Jackson were fighting, and he throws Nick Jackson into a toilet. And Orange Cassidy is just standing there, and he doesn't move. The crowd pop massively for it, and Ortiz just walks up and just slowly closes the door. Fun bit of comedy.
Yeah, really, really nice spot there.
Did you see the... Because I was watching this through Fight, and I don't know if this was on the TNT broadcast. I know they put it online since, but they continued this brawl... Obviously, during the commercial break before they got out into the crowd, there was a point when Ortiz and Matt Jackson, I think it was, or might have been Santana and Matt Jackson, were fighting. They fight past John Moxley.
Yeah.
But John Moxley is just like sat on a crate and just watching the fight and not doing anything. It's just like, and like they put it brilliant. It's like, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Nice stuff.
So then it goes to the main stage, and I love the sock full of pool balls as a weapon.
Yeah.
Sort of the, what's the Ray Winston movie? You know, oh, where it comes from. Who's your daddy?
No, I can't remember. That's Ray Winston movie as well. Oh, my God.
It's okay. Very early on in his career. But he takes out Nick's leg with it, the leg that was injured at Full Gear.
And Sexy then, Beast.
No, it's not Sexy Beast.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
No, it's Scum.
Oh, okay.
But he, then one of LAX, can't remember which, spray paints the bit of the stage with a circle, and he puts Matt through it with the powerbomb. Random Cutler runs out to stop the Nick beatdown. Ortiz and Santana beat him up as well. Private Party run in to separate all of that because Ortiz and Santana are taking on Private Party next week. And that's when they announce Allen and Mox as well. I like this beatdown, and I'm a big fan of having a show with here's a bit of comedy, here's a bit of this, here's a bit of hardcore. But to merge those into the same bit, I felt undermined it slightly. Mm-hmm. Again, super nitpicky stuff. But the Orange Cassidy bit.
You hate everything.
Yeah. The Orange Cassidy bit, the dive off of the forklift. I never bought into this brawl as a serious brawl.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this, like you say. But I'm agree with you. I don't think you needed the Orange Cassidy thing. That felt like that
I
was done.
I loved the Orange Cassidy
thing. And I loved it. But it's also jarring with everything else they were doing. Because then you set up to be like, we're putting Matt Jackson through a stage and we are re-injuring Nick Jackson's leg that we were targeting at Full Gear.
Yeah.
Sort of then it's undermined when you're like, but I'm just going to talk about the Orange Cassidy thing because that was dead funny. And also, I did really like when Brandon Cutler came out to fight them off, Santana was like, yeah, no, fine, we're going to stop this now. Then turned around and go, we lied!
Yeah, yeah.
And then
hey, they went, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, we lied. And then beat him down. Then Private Party came out. Private Party, big pop for them as well, and they got a chant. I think they've done, this company, have done a great job in getting Private Party over.
Oh, yeah.
As, like, they feel like such a top act in this tag team division.
It's almost like you wanted to tell that story rather than also do it with Scorpio Sky. So what would you give it overall?
It's interesting because this was not my favorite episode of AEW Dynamite. This hadn't reached some of the heights of some episodes have. But that's not to say that it was bad. I'd almost say it was low AEW-some.
So low 4 out of 5.
A low 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'll give it 4 out of 5 solidly. I think some of the stuff in here was excellent. So let's get onto your super chats. Pavi let Andy out of his cage. I think AEW are just trying to use Jericho, the older and more known wrestler, to get other not so much known wrestlers over. Welcome back, Luke Harter, Emoticon.
Thank you very much, Pavi. Andy is being stuck in his cage, though. but I agree, completely agree.
And then from Pavi again, hey Ollie, didn't you complain when WWE put the belt on already established wrestlers instead of making a new superstar? How much are those WWE checks, Ollie?
Oh, well, well. Wellicky, wellicky, wellicky.
Switched allegiances. No, I'm just saying that I feel like AEW have gone too far the other way.
I fantasy booked myself a better storyline, and now I'm upset this company are not doing it.
Should be Pentagon Jr. Let's go over to on the subject of MJF, Tim Arndt. MJF is someone who seemingly loved Cody more than anyone else in the world. Who else does that sound like? Ollie to turn on Cody confirmed. Never. He is my brother. Kevin, the moment MJF and Chris said Cody and then hugged, I was in tears thinking about Team Kevin and Chris. I loved every second of it. Yeah, we mentioned that one as well. Flint Mech, MJF and Jericho were magic in the ring together, but I really don't want MJF to join the Inner Circle. He has way more mileage by himself.
I think you're in luck then, because I don't think he's joining the Inner Circle.
Yeah, he's got his own little heel act with Wardrobe.
Wardrobe. On the subject of John Moxley, Zucchini is squash, says Moxley and Allen had a match already.
Yes, they had the unsanctioned match.
Did they? When?
At one of the pay-per-views.
That was against Janela.
Am I getting my hardcore wrestlers mixed up?
You are.
You can carry on. Let's see if I can find
Voice of Jamie with a very generous donation that says, love your content, lads. I think Moxley is brilliant, but could Jimmy Havoc beat the psychopath? I'd really like to see Jimmy get used more in AEW as well. But again, this feels like this company are taking their time in picking which stars they're going to be pushing for. So like at the moment, appears their focus is on Darby Allin, maybe even Luchasaurus, Scorpio Sky, Private Sammy. Party, yeah. Sammy. And we're like, we'll build those up there. Then it starts on your next crop of people. And Jimmy is going to be part of that crop.
So the only one I can find is an Allin versus Moxie match. I do remember this now, back in June. Not for All Elite Wrestling, but for New.
Ah, right. Yeah, Northeast Wrestling.
Yeah, Northeast Wrestling.
Okay, so Brass it wasn't an AEW.
It was.
Yes. AEW Miscellaneous, that's a Gordon Ollie-ism. New Punk Rants says, forget the MJF heel turn. What about the Omega turn? He's going to go heel. AEW needs the cleaner, ooh, and I'm here for it. Heel Omega is phenomenal. BBM.
I much prefer heel Omega, yeah. But he's impossible not to cheer when he's heel Omega. So what is he? Is he a, yeah? We'll see. I don't think he'll turn heel soon though.
Nathan, the Alpha Wolf Vela says, but what about the or what if? Never mind, you're right.
I think that's agreeing with my logic of Pentagon Junior.
Jose Quinde says, imagine pay per view is on Chinese New Year for OWE.
That would imply them doing a show out in China. Tony Khan has said their first market they're going to focus on is the UK.
Yeah, apparently we're going to be doing a UK show, or UK shows next year. He said in the post-show media scrum, he said that they want to do shows in Canada and London. Like, so
yes.
Not the UK, just specifically London. The Real YT says, no, $50 is a lot for Forks on a fixed income. A lot of random ass comments.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Dwayne Cooley says, though PNP and the Young Bucks should be serious and has had way too much comedy, I busted out laughing when Orange Cassidy was using the bathroom. I know how to use the bathroom now. Joy emoji.
See, wee sideways.
Yeah.
You're just standing up.
Dan Sky says, now that Cody will apparently never be AEW champion, do you think the same will be true of the Bucks and Kenny as well? It's from Dan Van Sky. So this is the interesting point that
Dan Van Sky,
that AEW don't want to do a TNA and have the people who are booking the company winning the belts and all of their mates winning belts. You know, essentially what Hogan likes to do. When Hogan is in charge, he's like, oh, I'm just going to bring all my mates in and I think they're all going to win all the belts and we're going to have all the money and it's going to be a grand old time. And Jarrett did that a lot. He was champion forever in the early days of TNA, even though he wasn't the most over heel. And AEW have gone in the complete opposite direction of just like, we're never winning any of the belts. I think Kenny will, though.
Yes, I think it's a matter of
and
time.
And the Bucks will, too.
Because that Kenny-Jericho feud has got so much history behind it. That would make sense.
New Punk Rant says, to be fair, it took like 40 years for WWE to have a good women's division. At least AEW has good talent. The rest will work itself out. It'll get better.
Yes, but AEW's problem there is that they were very vocal about how they're going to... You know, it's one thing to not say any of that and then just slowly start building it up. And everyone's like, man, they're doing a good job with the women's division. But to set the expectation of, we're going to have the best women's division in the world, when you kind of know that WWE have already signed everyone,
yeah,
is a little... I mean, I'm imagining it's optimistic, but it was misguided optimism on their part.
I don't think the problem with AEW's women's division is the talent.
Mm.
The problem is that they're not in any engaging storylines.
There's that as well, yeah.
That's where AEW's women's division is completely falling down. Piledriver Gaming says, I've loved almost everything about AEW so far, minus the many lights out moments before people's entrances. It feels to be repetitive.
Because you've got it for Cody, you've got it for Sean Spears. Sean always gets me. Like, I think something big is going to happen.
Yeah. Hula DDA says, AEW Dark is genius. There's a huge international wrestling fan base out there and won't have access to traditional TV. Why wouldn't you create a show they can see? Especially if you don't even have to book a separate venue.
Well, thank you very much for your generous super chat there. I would argue that just make Dynamite available for them then. You can get it on Fight everywhere pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And if those other markets are so much of a desire, you put it up on YouTube, geo-locked to those regions.
Anton H says, MGF plus wardrobe equals Jericho plus Jake Hager, Control-C, Control-V.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I can see that, yeah.
But maybe that will be a funny standoff moment of the Spider-Man, yeah. Especially if Jericho's got a scarf on too.
JobberJJ496, Ollie Davis's number one fan, says, loved how XLAX targeted Nick's legs and put Mac through the stage, targeting his back. Yeah. The Young Bucks selling, well, I never.
We know they're actually very good at selling. Yeah. And just to finish off, some WWE and WrestleTalk miscellaneous. The crowd for Garza versus Leo was absolutely amazing. That was the opening match for this week's NXT. Apparently it was an absolute corker.
And that Full Sail crowd is always hot.
And on WrestleTalk, Andrew A, level your intro and podcast levels. It's too loud.
Is that the intro chat or the music itself?
I forgot to feed this back to you, actually. That was one of the things. The podcast music intro is both too long and too loud.
It's actually feedback I'd already given myself.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm already on that. I've been on it for a while now.
There we go. And Dan Walinski, Ollie turn heel. Clap, 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 clap. Ricky Steamboat. I'm the forever baby face. So thank you very much for all of those wonderful super chats.
So lay it on me. Tell me all about your trip to Amsterdam.
Well,
and all it was, the dicks you saw.
Yeah, I massively overestimated my own tolerance to marijuana. That's okay. What happened.
Is that the title of your autobiography?
Yeah, yeah. And other stories. So we got there and we checked in. Oh my God, I was the subject of a theft.
What?
Within an hour of arriving
no
in Amsterdam.
No way, what happened?
We get to the hostel. They say, your room's not ready yet. There's a steak restaurant down the road. Go and have lunch and a few beers there. Put your luggage downstairs. Here's the key to the luggage room. They give you a key which is hilariously attached to a giant clog. Mm-hmm. The wooden Germanic shoe. And we go downstairs, we put our stuff. It's with loads of other people's stuff. And then it locks. And then we go away, we have our beers. And, well, actually, I had wine. It's my first mistake. And then we came back and we open up the door to get our stuff out. Everyone gets their stuff out. Graham, who had his jumper, a very nice jumper, one of my favourite of his jumpers. I've always coveted it. I've always thought, if I see that jumper, I'm going to buy it and have to time when I wear it around him so he doesn't know I bought that jumper. It was gone.
Oh, no.
In this circle of trust zone. I'm like, man, that's a shame. And everyone else is taking the mick out of him. I like that jumper, man. I feel you.
On the upside, you can now get that jumper. You don't even have to work it around him wearing it.
Silver lining. I didn't bring that up at the time. Because he was genuinely quite sad. We go up to the room and we start unpacking. We've got to be out sharpish because we'd already massively delayed, excuse me, for our escape room that was the first thing on the agenda.
Nice.
And we wanted to go to a coffee shop beforehand because the idea of doing an escape room inebriated was hugely appealing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakenly so in the end. That was our second mistake. And I open my bag and the Kindle is there. The headphones are there.
Okay.
My shoes are there. All my toiletries are there. You know, various expensive things are there that you would expect to be nicked. And all of the clothes were still neatly folded. But my really nice green Farrah t-shirt and my really nice blue-coloured Farrah trousers were gone.
Now, did you just not pack them?
Well, that's my first thought. I'm like, I know I packed them, but I'm also aware of the human memory's fallibility.
Exactly.
So,
and stuff is all neatly folded. The Kindle, the headphones
exactly.
are all there.
So I text Anna and I said, is the stuff, you know, did I leave it somewhere? She says, it's not here. And then everyone's telling me, you're going crazy. You're trying to get on Graham's bandwagon, who's genuinely lost, had his jumper stolen. I'm like, no, guys, I sit. And they're like, you shut up. You're being like, what do they call it? Crisis actor.
Yeah, or you're being an emotional vampire.
Yeah, exactly. But no.
A sympathy vampire, like from What We Do in the Shadows, yeah. The TV series.
No, they have genuinely been stolen. And I'm annoyed, I'm upset because I like those items of clothing, but I'm also, overall, I'm just confused. I'm just confused.
That is a confusing bit of theft.
Yeah. I think some backpackers probably Americans or Australians, they're terrible for it, I reckon, had a game where they're like, let's go out tonight in someone else's clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And they just rummage through everyone's bags. I'm going to wear this. I'm going
to
wear
I
that.
I can easily get hold of this jumper. There's exactly. a bag next to it. Here's a nice green top and some blue trousers.
Anyway, I'm going to have to buy those again because I really like them. But then we quickly go to a coffee shop, which for everyone who's not aware, that is where you can legally smoke.
Not legally.
So I looked this up and It's very complex legally. You're right. It's not legal, but it's also not illegal.
No, it is. From what I understand, it's not legal to do it. But you're right, actually.
I think it's illegal to sell it. I don't know.
But it basically, the broad line is that the Dutch government just turn a blind eye to it because it's very good for tourism. In the same way that sex work is also not legal within Amsterdam.
Right.
But again, it's just... they
didn't
just
stop you, though, did it?
Turn a blind eye to it. Well, I've got to earn money somehow.
And we get in there, and there's six of us. I'm not an experienced smoker in any stretch of the imagination.
But you're so cool.
I know.
And smoking is for cool people, right?
I expect I would be, but I haven't got that natural ability. So we go to the table, and...
smoking's not for cool people as well, just a...
It was a sarcastic remark.
Yes.
As WWE Did You Know facts keep telling us.
Exactly.
Hey, kids, don't smoke. By the way, Charlotte Flair's going to be a 16-time world champion. How are those two related? So we go up there, and there's a chain called Bulldog.
Yes, I know it, yes.
Yeah. So
it's everywhere.
There's loads of them. There's three on one street. It's kind of the Starbucks of selling weed in Amsterdam, illegally or non-illegally.
Yeah.
They have a very clear strength chart. One paw, because it's called Bulldog, is like the weakest. Five is the strongest. This one had nothing like that. And everyone there seemed to be stoned anyway. Behind the bar, in front of the bar. So when we asked them, hey, what's the weakest sativa strain? Because there's two strains. Mm-hmm. One makes you alert, which would be good for the escape room.
Yeah.
The other one makes you sleepy and kind of confused. What's the weakest one of those? And they went, probably... this one?
Uh-oh.
And we're like, okay, cool. One joint of those, please.
Yeah.
I sit down, and my mate comes back with two. And he's like, we've got 40 minutes. There's six of us. We can just chill on these two.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Did the first one. I was like, this is fun. This is what I remember uni to be.
A fun time,
like.
Yeah.
I feel alert. I feel a little bit dizzy, but it's all okay. I'm looking forward to doing the escape room. Then the second one came out.
Uh-oh.
And I took one puff and I was gone.
Gone where?
I was just... as soon as I inhaled it, my mind was like... Like, you know that shot in Jaws?
I thought you could say, like in Doctor Strange, when the Ancient One like hits him. It goes,
yes, boosh! Also like that. Yeah. Also like that. But he kept on falling and just fell asleep.
Oh, no, you fell asleep.
No, I didn't. But I was like, oh my God. And I got super like, oh no, everyone knows. And I'm not going to be able to do the escape room properly. And I'm going to let everyone down.
Oh, no. That's a bad spiral.
And it turns out, because this happened to my two other mates as well, and then we just stopped smoking it. I only took one puff of that. He had gotten another one. Apparently the guy behind the counter just said, oh, and you might as well try the mixed one as well. I'm like, okay.
You might as well.
It's just a mix. It's just a mix of all of the stuff they have. Probably the dregs.
Oh, yeah, that does sound
so
like, yeah.
So not only have you got this really like dirty high...
Cadbury's mishap ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, really strong. So we go into this escape room after this 20-minute Uber drive where I'm just trying to hold it together. And we get in, and we've got to sign this waiver form. I can't read it. Someone has to show me twice what to do. And then we get in there, the door locks, and... I am useless. I'm not helping anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a room and there's loads of clues hidden around. And I would be in one corner, just opening a box, opening a drawer, trying to look for stuff. And I'd be like, guys, there's nothing here. And I'd walk off. And then someone else would go over there 5 minutes later and say, what are you talking about? There's loads of stuff here. And at one point he picked up this entire map. A map that was in three parts, actually. We found the other two parts, put it all together, and everyone's like, you know, it's a really clear map. This is the clue.
Yeah.
But then my friend, who was also similarly hit, went, wait a second. And he flipped the map over, and the map was blank on the other side, apart from a little scratch that kind of looked like an X. And he was like, I think if we line that up with this thing over here, that X is going to tell us something. Like, that sounds totally like what would happen here.
Yeah.
And we keep like that. And we didn't know. Everyone was just watching us. Like, what the hell are you doing? And we're trying to line it up. And one of the other guys just starts shouting at us. No, it's the map. It's the map on the other side. So we had to flip it. It was that was just a scratch.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
No uses. Anyway, that was just the first afternoon.
Oh.
And then we all went to bed at 9 p.m. It was lovely.
Cool
we
kids.
All genuinely went to bed at 9 p.m.
Cool kids, man.
Yeah, cool.
Does that mean then there's a tease for more Amsterdam Tales on Friday's episode? Tomorrow's episode, frankly.
But it was just a fun time. There weren't really funny stories.
Hmm.
Just a fun time. Just a lovely time with the boys.
Lovely time with the boys. Day. Well, in which case...
My mate threw up on the travelator at the airport on the next day.
Deary me.
And he claims it was okay to walk away from because it just went underneath.
Well, we're going to call it a close there. On tomorrow's podcast, then, that means we can get to all of your emails that I've got a big backlog of. So very much looking forward to getting on with those. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye. Oh, Laurie and Simon will be around again for another episode today. So listen to that. So take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.